Well, good morning, saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute, and we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you to our Friday morning edition, and we're so grateful that we're able to share with you continually on this line about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is week one, day five, that we have been talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And thus far, we have used the life of Elizabeth and Zechariah. And here we're talking about the life of Mary and introducing the power of the Holy Spirit into the new covenant that we have in Christ Jesus. Now, remember, by all means, the ministry of the Holy Spirit didn't start here. The ministry of the Holy Spirit was always with God, and God and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Holy Spirit was in the beginning of creation, making all things that is. But we pick it up here and sharing it with you and I to show the benefit that you and I have now as New Testament believers, and why we can rely on the ministry of the Holy Spirit to do what, to be a helper to us, to make intercession within us, to stand by us, to be a counselor, a guide to us in times when we have, when we're times of need. And that's the purpose. The functioning of the Holy Spirit, it is to reveal all of the ways of God through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is that teacher. He's the one that is the revealer of truth. Now, we're here in Luke chapter 1, and we've been dealing with this Luke chapter 1 all week and looking at various other scriptures, but before we go back to Luke and finish this about Mary, look here at John chapter 16. Let me just show you to be a more stability of the scripture that, you know, the thing that I just said about the Holy Spirit. If you look here in the 16th chapter John 16, 13. And you will see, it says, notice Jesus said here. Now, he's talking about a new truth to be revealed by the Spirit. In other words, Jesus has been with the disciples, you know, for 3.5 years. And now his departure is at hand. And in actuality, from the 13th chapter, I believe, all the way up to the 18th chapter, Jesus was pronouncing, giving his final message to the disciple. It was not so much in public ministry. It was more in the obscure way in sharing with them, preparing them the type of death that he would die, and etc. And so as long as the disciples had him with them, they could not think in a manner of not having Jesus with them. They wouldn't even let themselves think in that light. But it was good for them as well as it is good for us, because for us, Jesus, if he hadn't left the earth, then he could only be in the earth, in one part of the earth, making changes and bringing divine intervention to one section of the world at a time. But thanks be unto God, because Jesus has come and re-established the way of the kingdom of God, which is from Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, you know, chapter 1, chapter 2. Jesus has come and reinstated unto us how the laws of the kingdom work. But we have a helper. And the reason why we have that helper here is because man's soul and body is not enlightened like man's spirit is. We have to, on purpose, have our soul enlightened so that we can have understanding, so that we can have a revealing knowledge of what is already true in our spirit. And what is already true in your born-again spirit, your heart, your soul, your mind, it's not always catching it like it ought. And that's the reason why the Holy Spirit is the only part of the part of the Godhead that is able to help us. He's the one that reveals truth. And if you notice here, in John 16:13, let's make our faith confession before we get into Father. Say it out loud with me. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, notice this. In verse 12, Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Meaning because he was with them, and the truth that he wanted them to have, the revelation of him that he wanted them to have, knowing that he has to go. And so they couldn't fathom that. It's just like having someone with you all the time that's a helper to you doing the work. And then when they leave, because it's time for you to step out on your own, you know, you're not ready for it. We are more comfortable with that lead person with us. And that's a good thing. But then there come a time when the Holy Spirit knows, or even, you know, a trainer of yours in whatever lifespan you have in the things you do, they know when you're ready. But they know also they can cripple you if they stay with you in the light that they are. Are you following what I'm saying? And so here in verse 13, he said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. See, notice what he called him, the Spirit of truth. So in other words, the Holy Spirit never speaks of anything of his own mind. It only speaks what it hears. Hears from who? Number one, from God the Father, because he was with the Father God in creation. The Son was with God in the creation, but he was what? Well, he not was, but he was and still is the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit was with God the Father. He was with God the Son, which is the Word. And notice this, the Holy Spirit is still active, playing his active role today, but now he is taking more of a lead role. It's the same God. It's the same Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is God, but he's taking a lead role in knowing that his life is already in us. We are releasing what is already ours through the new birth. If I can say that, I'm hoping I'm making sense to you in saying this to you. But if you notice, he said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. In other words, there's something that's coming that you're not really expecting. But he said, when he does come, notice what he would do. The first thing he would do, he will guide you into all truth. Well, what is the all truth? He's the all truth of this life, all truth of this way. See? And notice this. He said he will guide you into all truth. And notice this. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears. See? He shall speak. Whatsoever he hear, he shall what? Speak, and he will do what? Show you things to come. Well, he's doing it in the person of Christ, but he's doing it in your spirit that is born of God. Remember, The theme of this year is awaken to righteousness. That word awaken means to rouse your understanding to this new identity of whose you are. So we're being awakened to a new way of living, a new way of thinking. And everything within us now comes from the life that we have received through the new birth. We are born of God. And because we are born of God by the Spirit of God, when we say the Spirit of God, we are talking about the Word of God. They can't be separate. The Spirit and the Word work hand in hand. Are you following what I'm saying? And again, notice what he said. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, well, we know he's come. But we can also use it in our everyday life because of some traditions, religiosity ways that we have had. It could hinder the power of God or the truth of the Word of God from functioning in your life. You know, for an example, you may not believe that God wants you to live in divine health. You may not even think that's possible. That sickness, all sickness can be turned off in your body. You may not think it's possible that you could live a prosperous life in this realm. And notice this, you know, being in debt to no one but God. You may not think it's possible to be free in your mental abilities, knowing that, you know, my mind has been turned off from all manner of diseases of Alzheimer's, dementia, and everything else that they, you know, that they try to put on us in a certain age bracket, where you could begin to say, well, that don't belong to me. So you say, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. See, the Spirit of truth is still coming to your way of thinking, to your way of belief. Now, if your belief is already in line with these truths, then guess what? All I'm doing is just milking this. All I'm doing just, you know, enlighten the fire that's on the inside of you to hold fast to the truth that you've already embraced. But if for someone who have never really embraced these truths of understanding that sickness can be turned off on the inside of you, because that's what Exodus 15:23, I will bless your bread and water, and I will take away. The word take and the word away has the same meaning. They both mean they'll be turned off. Are you listening to me? That means all sickness, all disease is turned off in my body. I control my own health. You understand what I mean? Through the Word of God, through the Word that he's given unto me, the Holy Spirit is giving me this assurance. That's why I say, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he's giving me this confidence. He's giving me this boldness. Because I don't have that in myself like that, but I have this because the Word has promised us. The Word that says in 1 Peter 2:24, himself bore my sin on the tree that I may be dead to sin. See, if it hadn't been for the sin that Adam committed, the violation, that law, that Adam committed against God's word, we wouldn't have to speak in this light. But praise be unto God, we have been redeemed. We've been purchased back by the blood of the Lamb. And therefore we have this boldness. We have this access into this grace. But it is by faith. So therefore, you have to take what God's word promised, what God's word said, and what you're doing, you're acting on it as though it is so, because it is so. It just, it's not something that you could feel. It's not something tangible. It's not something where you can touch, but it is as real because it's God's word. Everything was created by words. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was what? The word. And the word was what? With God. And the word was God. The same with God, where? In the beginning. So God's word is what we look at from the original authenticated of how he created the heavens and the earth. I go back and I look at God's original intent, because that's the purpose of us being born again. The purpose of the new birth is so that you can operate in divine health. You can live there. You can live in divine peace. You can live in divine prosperity. You can live in divine deliverance. Everything that caused us to fall below the glory of God through one man's transgression, Jesus being that God-man for you and I, and he spoiled, meaning he stripped the word spoil of Colossians 2. One of the words means Jesus stripped him of the power that held us sway, where we couldn't get loose, where we couldn't be free, where we couldn't think free. Jesus stripped him of that power. That's why you have to have a revelation about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, because what I'm speaking to you from the aspect of, you and I may still be bound in some tradition. You may be still bound in some form of religion because you were raised in it. You were taught, you was branded with these things, with these thoughts. And here someone like me come along saying that all sickness, all manner of sickness and disease can be turned off in your body. That means once it hits your body, it's turned off. It can't enter. Why? Because I'm not giving you consent. Jesus paid the price as the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God. So Jesus paid the price for me to say, no, I don't receive that. No, you can't enter my body. I curse you. I command you. Leave me. And I know sometimes, you know, you look at that and say, well, that's just words. No, that's words of the kingdom. That's that new identity that you have. That's the new way that you walk in. That's the new attitude that you are partakers of. And if you use your physical ability, you use your own natural intellect to say, well, I don't feel like I'm healed. I don't feel like I'm in victory. I don't feel like I'm prosperous. Well, guess what? Your feelings lie to you, because this word is absolute truth. I'm not speaking of your present state at the moment. I'm not trying to get you to deny that you don't have pain in your body. I'm not trying to get you to deny that you don't have enough finances to pay your bills. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you is, don't look at what you already have. Look at what has already been made unto you, so that you can take it by faith, the word of God, the covenant word of God. And then what do we do? Now, because I'm the righteousness of God, I can go to the scripture and it says that he will bless my bread and my water, and he will take sickness away from the midst of me. When I look at that, now I got a promise. Now I have to do what? Train my mind. I have to renew my mind with the word of God. Look at it, meditate on it, think on it. And then all of a sudden, that's where the Holy Spirit come in and give you light give you understanding that you can't get in yourself. He is the author of these words. He is the one that is that the Father is speaking of. And his responsibility, the Holy Spirit is, his responsibility is to reveal the truth. His responsibility is to bring forth understanding. When you and I are paying attention, when you and I are meditating, so one of the, how would the Holy Spirit be able to make real, make known to me that all sickness is turned off from me, and that my body, I won't get sick, I won't live in poverty. Now I know when you hear stuff like this, your mind already go back and think about, well, this person like this, that person like this. I come from a background. I'm kind of suffering. I'm struggling with that. I'm not talking about your present state. Your present state is there because it wants to keep you in the natural. If you grab hold to the covenant right that you have in Christ Jesus, then your perspective will change. You will become utterly angry, upset, not angry at a person, but anger at knowing that your spiritual state can change. And when you recognize what Christ have revealed, has done for you in all the areas that I've spoken to you about thus far, and you begin to start getting results from that, then you would be like me. No, you can't tell me that I can live sick free. I can live pain free. I didn't say I didn't have opportunity where pain come. I didn't say I didn't have opportunity where sickness would try to come. When they try to come, I said, let it know. You know you can't enter my body. I command you to die. This body belongs to the Holy Ghost. This body belongs to God. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I refuse to let you enter my body. In the name of Jesus, so I command you to go. If a pain tried to hit my body or hit my hand or whatever, they're talking about arthritis or whatever. No, I begin to work my joints like that until it's gone. I don't give in to it. Say, oh my God, my hand hurts so bad. I think I'm getting, I'm in the early stage of catching arthritis. Well, guess what? Your word is helping you to get over there. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying here? This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is the one to reveal truth. You are redeemed from the curse. Galatians 3:13. You are redeemed from the curse of the law. Arthritis is a curse of the law. Cataracts is a curse of the law. All manner of sickness, what they call shingles, what they call upper respiratory problem, issues in your respiratory system, your immune, autoimmune system, where it seems like your immune system is turning in on itself. I'm telling you, you don't have to tolerate that. As the righteousness of God. I'm showing you how to overcome it. I'm revealing to you that Jesus said, he said, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. For some of you, the Spirit of truth may be coming right now because you are no longer closing yourself off and making what the doctor said, this is the final outcome for you. You're no longer allowing your financial status, because you may be in so much debt that you can never pay off, and say, this is your final outcome. You have to work 3 jobs and plus catch whatever little sidekicks you can catch just to try to keep your head above the water. In the natural, that may be so. But God has destined for you a plan, has destined a plan for your life. And just one word from God, when you begin to seek the Holy Spirit, when you begin to walk with the Holy Ghost, one word from God can give you an ideal, can give you a new concept, a way of thinking, and man, it'll change your whole, it'll change your financial outcome for the rest of your life. That it will be so plentiful, so bountiful, that it will set you up for your seed. But if you don't have that type of expectation, if you don't have that type of faith, that type of trust in God, are you understanding what I'm saying here? So he said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. So when someone guides you, what are they doing? They're leading you. They're teaching you. Part of being guided by the, he's teaching you. He's leading you. He's giving counsel to you. He's revealing something to you. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, being born of God and being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you will be able to easily see these things. You will be easily to adapt to the Holy Ghost that's at work in that wanting to bring about change. So you can't stay connected to drug, to some addicted to drugs, addicted to this or that, whether it be pornography or whatever it may be, when you allow the whole, when you allow the Spirit of truth to come. If you're serious about getting delivered, serious about walking free from being a hostage in your own mindset, this is it. Don't condemn yourself, but just look at it and say, Jesus has already made a way for my escape, and he has left the Holy Spirit. That's why he said, it is expedient that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Spirit of the Father, the promise of the Father, cannot come. What is Jesus doing? He's testifying here in John 14, 15, and 16, and 17, the way how his ministry was successful, how he was successful over the works of the devil. He had the Holy Spirit of God, his Father, leading him. We, too, having the same spirit of faith. But we have to exercise it when we have understanding. See, understanding gives you what? Understanding gives you light. When you have understanding, that means you say, oh, I see that. You know how if you didn't have a much light in a room and you can't see what it is you're looking for, they're pointing you to the direction, but you still can't see. But the more light is revealed in that area, you say, oh, I see it. I found it. Well, see, understanding told me what? If I get closer with the light, I'm going to be able to see it. I'll be able to find it. Well, that's what understanding is in the word. If the scripture says in Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh. How does faith come? It comes by hearing. So the more you keep hearing the word of God, that I can walk in divine health, I can walk in divine prosperity, I can walk in divine peace, I can walk in this the victory that has overcome the world. It is our faith. When you understand that, notice this. It said faith come by hearing. So the more you keep hearing the word of God in various areas of your own walk, even like in my own walk, what I do, I keep hearing the word of God in that area until I'm totally convinced. You got to get to that place where Abraham, in Romans 4:21, he said, I am fully persuaded that what God had promised, now this is so important, I'm fully persuaded, I'm fully confident, convinced, that what God had promised, notice he didn't say what he promised, what God had promised. All I'm speaking to you about is what God has promised. And that's where we have to be. Your rest, my rest in the Lord is to enter that rest is to trust and believe the word of God or the word of promise. But you got to do it by faith. To do it by faith means the word that I have embraced, the truth I have embraced, I'm going to trust this. When you say I'm going to trust it, that means you're going to act on what you believe. You're going to act on what you got trust in. That's what faith is. Faith is a belief. So my faith is always, you know, it's a belief in something or someone. In this case, our faith is a belief in God's word and in God's way of doing. That's why Jesus said in Mark 11:23, if you will say to the mountain, see, because that mountain is something that could be in a manner, it's impossible to change. That condition could never leave you. You'll never recover from this incident. You'll never recover from the paralysis in your body. You'll never recover. You'll never be mentally sane or sound again. Because that chemical, that drug, whatever it messed your mind, that may be so. But to say that it's impossible for it to change, it's impossible for you to recover, with man it is. You know, that's Matthew 19:26, or you can look at Luke 1:37, which we're talking about Mary. When Mary said the angel told her what happened in her body, that she's going to have a child. And he told her the power of the high, the power of the Holy Ghost will come upon thee and it will overshadow thee. And that holy thing that's born of thee should be called the Son of God. And she said, well, how should this be, seeing I don't know a man? And the angel said, for with God, all things is possible. I want you to think about that for a moment. For with God, how many things are possible? Or how many things is impossible with God? For with God, nothing shall be impossible to him that believe. So we could look at Matthew 19:26. We could look at Luke 1:37. We could look at Romans 4:21. And what did all of them say? Why? Because Abraham could not bring forth, Abraham and Sarah could not bring forth this child without God touching their body. It was God's promise. It was God's idea. And it's the same thing what I'm speaking to you today. It's God's idea for you to be free, for you to live whole, for you to live prosperous, for you to be at peace. So if it's God's idea, then let him reveal to you how you and I to walk this out, how you and I to stand in that truth. That's where you have to do your study. That's where you can go back at the end of this broadcast, because this will be on a podcast. Grace Institute Online Bible School has a podcast. If you hadn't known that, you can go at the end of this lesson and everything else that I've taught thus far in these classes. You can upload your podcast, whether it be through Apple, Android, whether it be Spotify, whether it be YouTube Music, or you know, whichever one. We're on all the major podcasts, and you can listen to this over and over again. It's not that I just want you to just download, you know, just to say I got these. No, I want you to do it so that, why? Because I live by this. Now, I listen to my own self at times just to make sure that, you know, I'm speaking things, I can speak things in a better light. I could, you know, see what the Holy Spirit may have been talking to me, and I got off. And then I can come back. And if I got off, I'll let you know I got off on this and the Holy Spirit want me to come back and share this. Because we're always learning. But I have my own teachers that I listen to on a daily basis. The word of God that I feed on a daily basis. So what am I saying to you? Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, it may have come to you to say, you know, I believe now I'm ready to pray in other tongues. Because see, at one time, your tradition may have told you, you know, that's gone. The days of the apostle, that they are gone. Well, I can tell you one thing. The Bible said in Ephesians 4, I think in verse 9 through 11, that Jesus gave some apostles. Notice who gave it. See, Jesus functioned in all of the of all of those offices. And some of us can function in more than one of those offices that the Holy Spirit, that Jesus has given to us. But notice he did. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saint. You can't grow in this grace. You can't have an understanding of standing in these truths without having these fivefold gifts that Jesus himself have put in place so that we can grow, so that we can learn. I don't know it all. I'm not going to even, I don't even have to tell you that. You already know that. But then there are others that come along and they have their part. And the apostle, the prophet has his part. The teacher has his part. The evangelist has his part. But guess what? All we're doing is just one either sowing or one is watering. But all the increase, according to 1 Corinthians 3, 7, all the increase is from God. No man can give increase. No man can give light or can give revelation to these truths. It's going to take the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So when you hear the word like you're doing right now, then guess what? If your heart is open, the Holy Ghost is right now. He's the one shining the light. He's the one giving you understanding. He's the one that's breaking down, pulling down stronghold that religion has built over us over years of years. I mean years of our life. Religion is a very dangerous word. Or your tradition. And you keep hearing, and you keep hearing the word. What is it doing? It's like a chisel. It's chiseling away those old beliefs. It's chiseling away those old way of thinking. And then all of a sudden, you wake up one day with a total different attitude. Well, you know you didn't do that in yourself. Because that's not in you to do. But the Holy Ghost in you, because you're born of God, you give the Holy Ghost the consent to renew your mind, to bring change to your thinking. And then your spirit is like that, it's like that reservoir. It began to release all the glory, all the manifestation of the finished works of Christ. So that the soulless part of you is absorbing it like a sponge. It's your soul is being immersed with a new truth, with a new identity, with a new understanding. And it's beginning to teach your body. Your body is becoming the display of the glory of God. People will be able to see and know that you got something on you differently that everybody else don't have. They'll be able to notice you feel with the Spirit of God. Demons will know. They'll know. Spirit to spirit, they will know. Are you understanding this? I didn't intend to go this direction. But when the scripture said, Mary and the angels say, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And I'm using Luke 1:37 and 1:38, along with right here with John 16:12-15. And what does Jesus do? What he's revealing? He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Now we know the Spirit of truth has come, but the Spirit of truth for praying in the Spirit, being filled with the baptism in the Holy Ghost, walking in divine health, living with divine peace, enjoying all the victories that God has given unto us through Christ Jesus, that itself may be a struggle for you. But now that you're hearing the word, now that you're hearing something different from your traditional preacher or your traditional leaders, and you're saying, man, now this is something I never heard. This is something I never heard like. Yeah. See, when the Spirit of Truth comes, so the Spirit of Truth may come to some of you today. I'm always looking for more of the Spirit of Truth to reveal things to me in a light that I did not have. So it's not like to say something wrong with you. No, we are always growing. We are always increasing. We are always changing when you set your mind to understand, I know all I know, which is not a whole lot. But when I set my mind to be a reception to the things of the kingdom of God, of whose I am, then I'm able to display. I'm able to walk in the realm, this physical realm, with a different kingdom, with a different mindset. It will override the mindset of this physical surrounding. It may be one thing. I may have this issue in this realm, but because I'm born of a kingdom of God, I am trusting, I am expecting the Holy Spirit to reveal to me how to get on top of this, because I belong there. How to change this condition, because I'm supposed to walk on top of it. I'm not supposed to be in it. I'm not supposed to be under it. I'm supposed to be on top of it. And if I'm not on top of it, then notice it. I'm not going to rest. I'm going to search the scripture. I'm going to find YouTube. I'm going to talk to somebody. I'm going to talk to my pastor. I'm going to talk to somebody to help me to get on top of this. I'm not going to stay defeated. I'm not going to live fearful. I'm not going to live afraid. I'm not going to live in bondage. Not one day more in my life. That's the attitude you got to have if you're going to live on top where you're supposed to be. The only way an eagle live in a storm or live way below it is something wrong with it. But an eagle can see a storm 300 feet away, 300 feet or 300 yards away. It knows. It doesn't run from it. It locks its wing and it get a top on, or get above it, and it ride it out. It knows how to come down, catch its food, what it need, and get back up where it's supposed to be. Well, I'm trying to tell you, you and I, as the righteousness of God, you, when you pray in other tongues, when you understand what the scripture is saying, even if you don't understand it, you say, Lord, I heard that man said, how be it when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, you will show me all things. Now I want you to show me how to turn sickness off in my body. I want you to show me how I don't have to be stuck on all these medications every month of my life, robbing me of my finances, robbing me of my health. I'm living in fear. I can't do this. I can't. Be honest with yourself before God. You say, now, Lord, I heard what he said. So you're not just taking what I said and do. You're taking what I said and you're going back and research the scripture. When you go back and you look at it, you say, now, Lord, I see that. I see what he said. Now, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me, to reveal to me how to have this boldness in what you said, in what Jesus did for me. How to have this confidence and stand firm on your word and know that I can have what Abraham had. I can have what Jesus died for and was raised to life again for. When you have that attitude, you can't lose. Well, today is offering day. I hate to break it off, but, you know, again, we can't exhaust everything about the Holy Spirit, because he is so, the third part of the Godhead, he is just as much God as he is the Son, as he is the Father. But we have the Spirit of the Father crying inside of us, we got a Father. Oh my, Eshelabakopopadishitinamakiste. Oh Father, I worship you. And I thank you for those who are listening, for those who will be, that these truths will be branded in their heart. They'll open their hearts and receive greater light, greater understanding. And I trust you, Holy Spirit, to make real, to make alive unto them in ways I could never enter. We praise you. We worship you. We love you. And dear God, every word that I've spoken, I trust today that the Holy Spirit will take those words and the hearts of your people will be branded. They will have a new thirst, a new hunger for greater truth, for greater insight, for greater understanding. And they too will walk in the victory. I hear the Spirit of God. And you too shall walk in the victory. And you too shall get the manifestation of being healed and being whole in your mind, where those of you have struggled with oppression. I sense that in the spirit, some of you have been struggling with deep, deep sorrow, and it put you in a place of being so oppressive. In the name of Jesus, I break that spirit, that thing that caused you to be in sorrow, the guilt, the condemnation. I uproot you in the name of Jesus, and therefore oppression will leave, because it has nothing to oppress. The sorrow, the guilt of your past, the thing, mistakes you made, it's gone. Now you keep yourself free of that. You keep yourself free and not entertain that sorrow, the thing you done, the thing that was done to you. Nope, you let it go so it won't be oppressive anymore to you. See, the only way you can become oppressive by something is because you, whatever happened, you're thinking on it, and it become a stronghold. So how does stronghold come down? Is strongholds come down by hearing the word, by speaking the word. I cast that stronghold down that wants to hold you, something in your path that wants to hold you as an hostage. No, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm just listening to the Holy Ghost at this moment. You know, oh, praise you, Father. If, you know, I may not call anything that you, but you have exercised your faith. Now begin to lift your hands and praise him. Begin to praise God, the spirit of Arthur Rogers. Some of you may be dealing with, you know, I mean, you exercise your faith. If you can't do any squat, I'll take a chair, lean on a chair and start squatting until the pain go. Why? Because you are in control of this body. The healing power of God is in you. It's on you. But you have to exercise the faith of the word. Are you following what I'm saying? I praise you, Father, that your people are healed and that sickness and disease has been turned off from them. Glory to God. Just lift your hands and praise him and say, Lord, I receive it. Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus. And then go on and be a blessing to someone else. Don't sit around, you know, muttering around about you. No, go and be a blessing, because you receive your healing. When you receive it, then you start acting out on it. Glory to God. Well, again, today is offering day. Want to give you an opportunity to sow into the favor of church. So if this lesson has been a blessing to you, then we want to give you an opportunity to sow. You can do it by Cash App, the Favor Church. And again, we're using all these seeds that comes in. It helps us to pay bills. It helps us to take care of utilities, take care of taxes, take care of the upkeep of the building, and everything else in between. Amen. And so as you sow into the Favor Church, what you're doing, you're pouring into you're giving into a ministry that we'll continue to want to give back to you. And remember, on the 31st of this month, we have our Grace Conference coming up. If you live anywhere close, 50 miles or closer, anywhere around in the surrounding area, March 31st, we'll start that Sunday morning, which is Resurrection Sunday. And we'll go from April 1st to the 3rd. That's a Monday, Tuesday, and a Wednesday night. And I see my pastor friend on here, Pastor Carl Como. He's one of my speakers that would be on this panel with me. And we'll be sharing with you in this Grace Conference. From my perspective, I'll be sharing with you overcoming strongholds by through spiritual warfare. You know, I'm going to be teaching a lot of spiritual warfare. And a lot of time we look for demons in this or that, and I believe in demons because I've been cast out many of them. But most of the time, until we crucify the works of the flesh, that too is causing the victory of God's word from ruling and reigning in our lives. So if you want to be a part of that, if you're interested in being a part of the Grace Conference coming up April the 31st through the 3rd of April, we'd love to have you. Amen. And so, again, if you desire to give into the ministry, whatnot, it's on your string. We're not going to make any big pull for it. It has to be God that ministers to your heart to give. It can't be me making you trying to know. It has to be Him. So we love you. We thank God for you. And as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and His favor be with you. We love you now. We'll do it again Monday, God willing. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye, everyone.